I know. That's my problem. I'm always one step ahead of everybody, you know? So that way I'm never really cool.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
You are listening to episode 262 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and I'm fired up. In this big, bad world, every second counts. And all that we needed was this rhythm of love.
For anyone listening, he does this every bloody week. This is puns by today's artist or songwriter. He didn't have a mini stroke and just start reeling off sentences that don't really mean anything to the podcast. Because this week's guest is the fantastic Tom Higginson of the mighty Plain White Tees.
You're lucky, because I was going to change the words to, "Hey there, Sean. What's it like in Merthyr Tydfil? You're about 30 miles away, but these puns are going to kill you." Yes, it's true.
I wish it was fucking less than 30 miles, because I would literally kill you now. You prick. You read that. You didn't even just have that in your head. You wrote that down and read. I saw your eyes move to the paper then. You prick.
It took me a while to work out what rhymed with Tydfil, so I had to. But anyway, I'm dead chuffed about this. I love Plain White Tees, and for some reason,
I was till now.
Tom is just someone I never imagined coming on. Like, why would he? So I'm completely in my element here. They're a band who have soundtracked people's music taste and genuine pop culture for the last 20 years. If you're into emo, pop punk, metal, chart music, or even things like iCarly and random TV shows, you've all sang along to Tom's catchy songwriting and play on lyrics. To be fair, I think they introduced me to the side of artists like Secondhand Serenade, We The Kin, Simple Plan, and even had an appreciation for people like Snow Patrol, Athlete, and early Coldplay. Tom is one of those unique characters within the industry, and I'm really thankful that he let us pick out his brains on this one.
Yes, we talk everything from emo resurgent to touring the States, billions of streams, advice. We talk about the weirdest place he's ever played. And I very much enjoyed making him aware of the reality that at any one time, his song is probably being played somewhere. What a mad thought. 24 hours a day, like, Hey There Delilah's got to be playing somewhere. I'd love to see his PRS. I should have asked him about his PRS check.
Oh. That would be a sight. They do have a new self-titled album available now, full of upbeat travel acoustic bass songs to get lost in. And throughout this conversation, we're just going to get an insight into his mindset on this new music and just the reality of the band after 9 albums in, his love for art and Banksy, industry ups and downs, the coolest flex ever that had his son in awe, and of course, getting into the legacy of Hey There Delilah. But before we go into the conversation, we've got plenty to tell you about. If you subscribe to our Patreon page at patreon.com/sapnin, we always give you sneak peeks and leaks and tell you about things we shouldn't really tell you about, not only about this podcast, because you help support it and it's the best way to do that, but about other things that are going on in our lives. And oh, Sean, you've got a fucking busy time coming up. What's being announced lately?
So if you're listening to this on Friday, the 1st of December at 10 a.m., tickets should have gone live for the Blackouts playing a hometown show in Merthyr Tydfil, December the 30th. It's a celebration of Christmas, my birthday, and New Year. Also, we've announced lately that in May, we will be playing Slam Dunk. We will be playing the 15th anniversary of our album, The Best in Town. So we're playing that in full, in its entirety, from song one to what, however many numbers of songs are on that album. It ends with Sunblock, I think. So good ending anyway. What other news? Oh, yeah, if you listen to this on December the 1st or December the 2nd, I'm DJing tonight at Manchester. Tonight, I'm DJing December the 2nd in Manchester for Deadbolt. Come on down. It's probably in the bread shed or the biscuit tin or the fucking crisp shop or whatever the fucking place is called. So check it out. Go to my social media, at Sean Smith Sucks, the app formerly known as Twitter, and then Fake Sean Smith on the Instagram, please.
No, everything going on. Slam Dunk Festival 2024, the Blackout, woo! 15th anniversary of The Best in Town. And you also get to see Yumi at Six, the All American Rejects, Head Automatica, As December Falls, and many, many more. So remember, patreon.com/sapnin to support us and get all of these leaks before we're allowed to tell anyone.
Oh, wait, I got a quick story. So I posted the other day, Sapnin, y'all, please don't post about this till 10 a.m., right? On Sunday, I posted the poster for the Blackout gig that was going live on Monday, right? Nobody in the group posted it. 6:30 a.m. on the Monday morning, Gavin Butler posts it, the singer, the other singer from the Blackout, right? He posts it. And I said, Gav, this is going live at 10 a.m. He said, but I've already seen this somewhere. Turns out Gavin had seen it in the group and thought, oh, fuck it, it's free reign now. I'll just fucking share it like a maniac. So it wasn't any of the Patreons who spilled the beans or any of that shit. It was one of the band who should know better. He sent it to his dad. He just sees him on Facebook he likes and goes, yeah, go on, fuck it. Everybody just have this. Saying, eh? Mad. Absolutely mad. Anyway.
This is the wonderful Tom Higginson of Plain White Tees on episode 262 of Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Fucking Gavin, man. Of all the people.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sapnin'!
What's up, guys?
Yes, this week's guest is the fantastic singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, Tom Higginson from the mighty, brilliant Plain White Tees.
Wow, what an intro. I love it. Hey, hey, hey. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to, it was fun saying Sapnin' with you guys. That was, felt like a little kid. It was great. Yeah.
Well, there we are. Do you know what? We've never had that reaction. 5 years into this, we've never had someone say they feel like a kid doing this. And we've actually had a kid on as well. So that is even, that's a whole thing.
Yeah. Wow. They did it. They did it and said, that's the most adult I've ever felt. And we were like, what's going on here? This is.
But no, obviously, Tom, pleasure is all ours. Thanks for taking the time to do this. How's things at the moment? How's things over there? You're gearing up for this new music and stuff, but
things are great. I'm actually in Nashville right now, about to fly. Actually, in a couple hours, I'm flying to Iowa. Ooh. Which, yeah, I don't know if you guys have you been to the States?
Yeah.
It's a kind of, Iowa is not necessarily a place you really want to go to, you know, but it's going to be really fun.
Does this mean you're trying out for Slipknot? Is that what's going on?
Exactly.
Are you going to Iowa to try for the new drums?
That's like the one good thing about Iowa, you know, is the Slipknot album. But, no, it's going to be fun. We're playing at a college or a university there tomorrow night. And then we head back to Chicago, which is where the band is from. And this weekend, in just 3 days from now, we're doing a hometown takeover because we've got our brand new album dropping on Friday. And we're playing a show Friday night, a show Saturday night, and then doing a signing at a record store on Sunday. So it's going to be definitely a big weekend for Plain White Tees. Yeah, I'm excited. Yes. Beyond that, we're gearing up for a tour next year. Basically, we're going to be on the road like all year, starting in January, touring the US. We're going to Brazil in March. Hopefully going to get to the UK, you know, as soon as possible. So yeah, that's kind of what's up with me. I don't know. How about you guys?
it's too much to keep you updated with. It probably would bore you anyway, but
too late.
Just kidding. It's always interesting to see how manic things get at the start of an album cycle like this. And Plain White Tees have been going for so long now. This is like your ninth major release altogether. Does it ever get? Does it ever surprise you, or does it now? You just kind of like, oh my god, yes, we're doing the machine again. We get to do this again, and you're just kind of hyped on the train for it.
I will say this album, I'm, you know, of course, you know, you guys know every album, you're always excited about it. You're always, you know, you're always amped up. You think it's like the best thing you've ever done. But this time, I swear, it really is. Like, I really am excited about it. And so it definitely feels different to come out and like, you know, do the podcasts and do the interviews and stuff like that. It definitely feels more like when you really love something and you really believe in it, it's kind of exciting and you want to do stuff like this. You want to talk about it. You want to get the word out there.
Oh, no. I completely agree. Has it ever got boring in the past? Like, have you ever got, because I found that I kind of got, after a while with my surprising success of the band, I got kind of jaded to it, I guess. And I was just like, oh, I'll, you know, there'll be another album run or whatever, or there'll be like, I remember not going to Sydney Opera House with my bandmates because I was like, I'll just do it next year when I come to Australia. And then we never went back.
Right. Totally. I mean, it definitely, you know, I mean, we've been doing this, God, I don't even want to say it, but it's like 25 or 26 years as a band. So, you know, you definitely have your ups and downs. There's definitely been moments where it's felt more like a job than a passion, you know. But again, I kind of feel like with this, you know, just what we've all been through with the pandemic recently and making just new music. There's definitely a like a reset button was hit, you know, like a definite like re-excitement, rejuvenation for the love of being in the band. So yeah, I mean, it definitely can feel a little bit boring and a little bit like monotonous sometimes, but not right now. So that's good. I'm enjoying the moment and the freshness of everything. Like I said, it was like a, you know, for a while there, it's like, we didn't know if we'd ever play a show again. You know, it was like when the pandemic started, it was like, is live music even going to exist anymore? You know, it's like, we had no idea. So yeah, stoked to be coming out of the other end with a album that we're really loving.
Remember that time where everyone was literally like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get to be in a room with the people again. And then like a year later, we were like, oh, fuck this. Let's go to a festival.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, what's changed? Enough. Not much. Yeah, what's changed? Yeah. Not much. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
No. But you talk about kind of just the exciting factors of all this. And with this new record, it being self-titled, I always find it so interesting when bands release a self-titled record so far into their career, not just like maybe the first one or second. And normally it represents them being very self-aware of their legacy and where they are now and being comfortable with what they do and where they're going forward. Is that a stance that you guys see now, or is it like, what's the story about wanting this to be self-titled rather than anything before?
No, we were just really lazy when it came down to it. No, I'm kidding. No, definitely. So yeah, we actually had a couple of names that we were kicking around for the album title. And it wasn't until we were at the, we were doing a photo shoot for the album. I put on a plain white t-shirt. And our drummer was like, oh man, that's all wrinkled. You got to steam that, you know, like it looks like shit. And so I took it off and we hung it up and there's somebody steaming it. And it was like on this rack. And it was like, we should take a picture of that. It looks so cool hanging on this rack. And then as soon as we like did that, it was like, it would just all came together. Like, whoa, that should be the album cover. Like we don't need to, it almost was the perfect, like, yeah, we don't need to title this album anything because it's like that image speaks for itself. Like you see that and you see plain white tees, you know who it is. And I mean that, like I said, going along with this rejuvenation that we're feeling and everything else, it just seemed to make it all clicked. And it seemed like we had planned it that way the whole time, even though it was totally an accident, but it all worked out and led us down that path, you know, so. You can't argue with the universe or whatever you want to call it. You know, it's just perfect timing, perfect thing. Yeah.
Can you let us in on any other ideas you had for the titles?
So yeah, there's a funny you should say that because there's artwork before we took that photo of like an album, and we were thinking of calling it Shape of a Daydream because that's a lyric in one of the songs towards the end of the album. It was almost called Shape of a Daydream. Yeah.
Wow.
It's mad how happy accidents like that can just change the whole perspective of things. Cause I was going to mention this album cover and just the simplicity of it, but also like kind of nailing, like with nostalgia being such a big thing at the moment, just have a plain white tee on the album cover, I thought was a brilliant idea. But yeah, to see it was a happy accident kind of makes it a little bit better again.
Well, I mean, it was an accident, quote unquote, but as soon as it was like, as soon as we saw and we thought about it, it was like, wait, that should be that's the album. You know, it all, like I said, it all clicked. So it was like, we stumbled upon it, but I mean, that's kind of how you do anything. You know, you're writing a song and you're like, you kind of like a lyric just kind of spills out of your mouth and like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. Or, you know, it's like, so we just, luckily at that moment, it all just clicked.
And doing this for so long now, how would you really compare Plain White Tees, his mentality today compared to kind of some of the early years? Because, you know, I feel like mentioning nostalgia and legacies and everything like that now, Plain White Tees is being celebrated with a lot of his back catalogue maybe that didn't really get the spotlight it did before. And I feel like, you know, there's a whole generation of fans who grew up with you guys who are now in the industry and kind of waving that flag. Do you kind of see a big difference of the band's growth over the years, or just kind of little things that you will take in behind the scenes?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's this, I can't explain this resurgence of, you know, emo and pop punk and, you know, the 2000s thing that's happening right now. It's really cool. And it really, we are seeing it that like people like of all young and older are like coming back around to like old albums and, you know, showing up at the shows that we've been doing all kinds. We just did the When We Were Young festival in Vegas, you know, which is a complete, yeah, I mean, you, I'm sure you, I don't have to explain that one to you guys. I'm sure you know it, but, just super fun. Yeah. Like I said, I don't know why I guess lucky timing, you know, for us to be releasing new music and this whole resurgence happening, really nice. So yeah. And it's funny. You kind of mentioned that people that liked us 15 years ago are now in the industry, or, you know, a lot of, people that we worked with on this album, like producers and stuff, are young. They were like fans of us when they were like kids or when they were younger.
Wow.
And so it's almost like, you know, they think it's really cool to be working with us because they love us from, you know, we inspired them back in the day. And I think it's cool to be working with them because it's like they're young and they're fresh and they're not jaded yet. They're not like, you know, they haven't been doing it so long that it feels like a job to them, you know? So it's just, it was like the perfect mix of like, yeah, like you said, timing, the legacy, the nostalgia, but then also mixed in with just the freshness, the fun. And, you know, like I said, a little bit of that, the youth mixed with the wisdom it's a good combo.
I find those people are the best to kind of work with at this stage in your career as well, because they understand what the band is. They already have a kind of connection to it and what they believe you guys should be doing, how it represents. And they kind of like, they want to put their own input into it with still respecting what you guys do rather than just coming in and being like, oh, well, I think this. It's kind of like they know, they have like a preference sheet. They know where they're coming from with this work.
Yeah, that's a great, great way of saying it for sure. Like there was so many times, like when we were on a major label back, you know, 10 years ago or whatever, it's like, I'd be getting in the room with like a bunch of like really amazing, successful songwriters and turn out the worst shit you've ever heard because it's like, oh, we're all geniuses in this room. So it's like, you know, I mean, it's just not the same vibe. It's like, it's yeah, like you said, it's like the younger people already kind of have it. They're hungrier, you know, so they're like, they're passionate, a lot more passionate than some of these older, you know, more successful people that I've worked with in the past. And like, yeah, like you said, it's like they know what Plain White Tees means to them. And it actually means something to them because they did grow up loving the band and, you know, kind of we're a part of their DNA already. So it's kind of awesome to, yeah, have that. It's almost like a full circle thing where it's like, I know what Plain White Tees are. You know what Plain White Tees are. So like, let's combine forces and make, I don't know. I mean, it was really the synergy and everything was just perfect. Also, I will say Plain White Tees, like within the band, we also were kind of being a little bit more, like you mentioned, self-aware earlier. Like we've done a lot of, you know, we've veered off track a little bit with just like trying things sonically, you know, like our last album in 2018 was kind of like more, a little bit more overproduced in like a dark pop kind of way. And I loved it. It was a great album, but like, it was like it didn't necessarily connect as much with people because, again, they, you know us of a certain sound, a certain you know, vibe, a certain feeling that they get when they hear Plain White Tees that maybe that album, you know, we kind of, you know, veered away from. And so just for us going into this new album, it was kind of like, okay, rather than like trying new things, let's like make an album that really, really, really feels like ourselves and feels like anybody can hear this, and there's no questioning what band this is. Just a really distinctive Plain White Tees album. And so it kind of goes with what you were saying, with people already kind of knowing what we feel like to them, adding their input into how we're trying to identify ourselves and really be true to ourselves. It was just kind of the perfect, the perfect mix.
But it's always nice exploring different elements and different influences as well. And I've always found your band to have sat in like weird pockets at the same time, because you've got that kind of emo pop punk side to you guys, but then I feel like you fit in with a lot of indie stuff, especially in the early 2000s. Obviously, acoustic guitars are a big part of different tracks and different vibes of the band as well. Has there ever been weird people trying to fit you in certain circles? Because you're not like, I don't know, people wouldn't call you an emo band, but then you fit in on the emo festivals.
Totally.
I mean, it's a weird identity.
I think we've kind of struggled with that our whole, even as a local band, like in Chicago, playing like local shows, you know, in high school, it was like, we were like, not like hard enough to be like the super punk, like hardcore shows, but we weren't like light enough to go do like acoustic coffee show. You know, it was like, we kind of were like this weird thing that never really fit in anywhere. And then, yeah, like you said, I mean, we've toured with, from, you know, Fall Out Boy to Snow Patrol to Jason Mraz to Panic at the Disco to, you know, it's like all these different, it's like we fit in everywhere and nowhere at the same time, you know? I mean, it's like a blessing and a curse, I guess, you know? It's like we kind of sound unique, but almost like, not unique enough, but too unique at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah. No. I feel you. Like it's that old saying. Like, you know, you're too hardcore for the acoustic gigs, but you're too acoustic for the hardcore gigs. But where are you supposed to go in between?
Yeah. Right to number one. That's where.
Well, you know. Yeah, you did. You did. So you can't argue that either.
Yeah. Take out both of those fucking places and people.
Yeah.
In your fucking face. That's brilliant.
Well, no, I'm slightly younger as well, so I still come from the generation who is obsessed with Every Second Counts and like.
Oh, nice.
Remember seeing you on iCarly and everyone in school talking about it and stuff like that, right? do you still get a lot of just random comments for those kind of things? So I'm sure, like, you know, your songs have been featured on films and TV shows, and in the background, there's so many things I'm sure you don't even know of. So do you get a lot of people coming up to you now and being like, oh, I remember this specific memory of something you have no idea about?
I mean, absolutely. Well, like you said, iCarly. I mean, honestly, that's still, to this day, one of the weirdly biggest things we've done. And it was at the time we filmed that, and before the show had even aired or anything. So it was like, we had no idea if it was going to be, like you're saying, some random thing that we did and then forgot about, or if it was actually going to be something. And luckily, the show was like a cultural phenomenon, and it was became so huge, and we were like a little part of that. So yeah, a lot of people have that connection. And it's awesome that like young people, even young people still to this day, I feel like our audience is anywhere from like seventh graders up, because I don't know, maybe because of those little moments. I mean, of course, Delilah is kind of still banging everywhere, you know, but I don't know what it is, but it's really cool that connection is still there. Because I mean, for me, I don't know about you guys, but like, that's when I fell in love with music, you know, like junior high school. It's like like that's when it I mean, it still obviously matters to me very much every day, but like that's when the passion started, you know. So to really still kind of be connected with that youth is pretty incredible, pretty important.
Yeah. Has anybody ever recognized you as the band from iCarly?
I mean, people always like, most of when I get like recognized, it's always, you know, do you ever, you know, has anybody ever told you look a lot like the guy from Plain White Tee? Like that's, nobody is like, hey, well, actually, there are some times where somebody will just come up and say, hey, just want to say I really love your music, or hey, saw you on, I loved you on iCarly or something, you know. But nine times out of 10, it's like the, you know, has anybody ever told you you look just like the guy that sings Hey There, Delilah? And I'm like, yeah, I get that a lot. That's me. And for a while, I would be like, I would just play like, I'd not be like an asshole, but be like, oh yeah, I've heard that. That's cool. And not say anything.
Right.
But now I'm just like, yeah, hi, I'm Tom. You know, nice to meet you. Like, let's do a picture or something. You know, it's like kind of, it was maybe more annoying when, it was happening more often and we were a little bit more in the spotlight, I guess, back in the day. So now it's just kind of like, yeah, hey, man, what's up? You know, good to meet you or whatever.
I learned the hard way not to cut them off if they start saying, are you the guy from? Because the first time it ever happened to me, I was in a band called The Blackout who did surprisingly well. Someone came on to me for the first time. I was buying socks in a shop and the girl said, are you? And I was like, yeah, yeah. And she went, Tom from McFly. And I went, oh, I'm not in McFly, no. Ah, shit. And I was like, oh,
damn it.
So, yeah, that was the worry.
That's funny. Yes, I'm definitely, yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes, yeah, you don't, maybe they don't know who the hell you are, but they know you, but they don't. You know what I mean? There's that thing too. It's like, you look so familiar. I get that a lot too, actually. You look really familiar. And I'm like, what? Am I supposed to tell you? Plain white tees? Yeah, hi. You know, I don't know.
Where do I know you from? I don't know. It depends where you live. I don't, like, do you live near me? If you live in Merthyr Tydfil, yeah, you might know me. I go to Tesco all the time. Yeah, it's crazy.
I just like telling people they recognize me from Crime Watch, and then you just
yeah, exactly. Yeah, America's Most Wanted.
Yeah. And then you're just like, what?
Cops. Exactly. Yeah, I was on an episode of Cops. I was on an episode. Oh, even worse. You could be like, oh yeah, you might recognize me from. I was on that show once with Chris Hansen. Oh, no. Oh, God, no. Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's the last thing anyone ever wants to be recognized from, I suppose.
You made a joke there about Delilah still getting played a couple of times. I think that's underselling it a little bit.
It's never going to die.
It's
crazy.
I wanted to ask, has anyone ever done a study on how many times a day that song gets played, whether it's on radio stations, never mind streaming and YouTube hits and all that, but just in clubs and pubs, restaurants. I mean, that song is such a mega hit that it's still played.
I mean, I don't know. There's like perform, like ASCAP or something that supposedly keeps track of all that stuff and pays me, you know, like a half a penny every time it gets played somewhere. But like, yeah, I don't know. That is interesting. I don't know. Yeah, like what are those metrics? You know, like, yeah, around the, because the song was like a worldwide, it was like number one in like 10 or 11 different countries. It was crazy. So yeah, I guarantee it's still getting played randomly in like corners of the world every day. It's kind of crazy to think about.
I don't doubt it's being played somewhere right now.
I mean,
I wonder if you could, 24 hours a day, it's being played somewhere.
Yeah, think about that. Exactly. Every second period, Delilah's getting played. Like, Delilah is constantly getting played, either in somebody's headphones, on somebody's Spotify, or on a radio station, or in a store, or
TV show.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it is probably always getting played somewhere. That's crazy to think. That's wild.
That's mad. Yeah, you've got a song that's on constant rotation in the world.
In the world. Wow. You know, we're about to hit a billion streams on Spotify too. That's a big,
really?
Big marker. Yeah.
Wow.
And at Spotify, that's like we actually sold millions as well before Spotify. Yeah. You know, so it's like it's pretty huge. So yeah, that's a landmark we're about to hit. Pretty exciting nice. There. Yeah,
that's awesome. Congratulations.
Hell yeah.
It's nice to see that it's still creating achievements like that so far after its release. And I'm sure, like, to an extent, you're probably fed up of talking about the song, and we totally appreciate it and get that. But like, has it ever been, I don't want to say a struggle, but just kind of mentally weird to accept the fact that because it's such a big hit, that you kind of have a perspective from people who only know you for that song. And then you have people who know the band for his whole back catalog and the kind of inner battles between that. Because I'm sure a lot of people in similar situations could kind of get bitter and kind of have negative reactions about that song. But I mean, I've seen you post so many funny jokes and stuff about its legacy. You know, you've done the Emo's Not Dead videos and stuff like that about it. So yeah, I just wanted to ask, like, has there ever been a kind of battle to be like Delilah versus Plain White Tees?
You know, I mean, it definitely eclipsed the band. It definitely got so big that, that like obviously more people know Hey There Delilah than know Plain White Tees. You know, it's, even though they are kind of synonymous with each other, it's definitely the song, you know, kind of blew everything out for sure. But that being said, I mean, I don't know, like it's incredible that it connected on such a huge level. I mean, that's why you pick up a guitar. That's why you do it. It's like you dream of having that kind of success. You dream of having a song that goes number one. You dream of playing concerts and you've got thousands of people, you know, screaming those lyrics back to you like that. So yeah, you can't get too mad, you know, you can't get mad at it really at all. What you can get mad at is like, damn it, why didn't 1, 2, 3, 4 go to number one? Or, you know, it's like, why didn't like this new album? It's like, I really have high hopes that, you know, again, I don't think anything is ever going to touch Delilah, but it's, you know, I really think this new album is going to connect in a way that, that a lot of our, you know, more recent albums haven't. I really do think this one just feels right and is gonna take us somewhere. But again, it's like Delilah is just it's its own thing that we have no control over, and I love it, and I'm not mad about it at all.
And as well, isn't it just it's inspired like an author to write a whole novel around the song, creating a story and. Like, stuff like that must be crazy to see. Not just, the legacy of the song, but it inspires, like, books and other forms of art.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there was, some, this author, like, a New York Times bestselling author wrote a book called What You Do to Me that was, like, literally her version of, like, the story of the song. And it's, she actually uses some of the lyrics. I had to, like, approve her to, like, use some lines from the song in the book. Wow. But yeah, I mean, how cool is that? Something that some song I wrote in my mom's apartment is like inspiring books and things like that. There were going to make a TV show, that it never happened. But, there was a TV show being pitched around with like the Hey There, called Hey There Delilah with the storyline. You know, kind of just going from the song and telling this whole story around it. Yeah, it's pretty wild. And I mean, honestly, I don't even think that we've seen the end of that stuff. You know, it's like, I think there's going to be like a musical or something like, Hey There Delilah, the musical, or I don't know. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't be surprised because this song has just really had a life of its own and has never kind of ceased to amaze me where it goes or, you know, what happens with it.
Well, yeah, it's a cultural phenomenon. Like, it's, a musical, genius, great idea, fantastic.
If someone approached you, like, if a musical, someone in that side of the industry approached you and, like, they want to write a musical with you about that, would you be on board or would you be like...
Hell yeah. I would love that. I wrote a song, a few years ago for Broadway for the SpongeBob musical. Nice. And, it was really fun. And it actually, the score got nominated for a Tony Award. So wow. I've technically been nominated for a Tony and a Grammy.
Ooh,
So that's pretty cool. Lost them both, but that's okay. That's, you know.
Still, you got the nomination. You could put
exactly,
nomination on
that's
everything.
The important part.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, it was so fun to do. Like, I mean, I'm, you know, writing songs is like, that's the best, my favorite part of the whole thing. So it'd be really fun to, yeah, to kind of develop and kind of dive into that world and, yeah, write some songs around like the story, Hey There Delilah musical. Yeah. Hey, if you guys know anybody, send them my way. Right. Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've got this uncle, Andrew, Andrew Lloyd Webber, his name is.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. God.
Imagine. Yeah. All you need now, though, is to get involved in some film that gets an Oscar nomination, and then you can be like, you have the Holy Trinity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, that'll be it.
Well, let's do it. You guys know anybody in movies? Come on, help me out. Musicals, movies.
I've got another uncle, Martin Scorsese. Imagine that. One uncle's Andrew Lloyd Webber, the other uncle's Martin Scorsese. I'll just sort him out now. Yeah, I'll just give him a call.
Yeah.
How did the SpongeBob thing come about?
Honestly, they just reached out. It was there was a few different artists. The whole score was written by different, like Brendan from Panic of the Disco wrote one. I think Steven Tyler from Aerosmith. So I think they just approached a bunch of people that they were fans of, the people that wrote the musical, or maybe were producing it or whatever. And I don't know how I got on that list, but I wrote a really fun song called BFF. That's kind of like a little friendship, best friend song between SpongeBob and Patrick. It's really cute.
I love you just like, oh yeah, you know, it was me, it was Steven Tyler, you know, just casual. Just the casual. Hey, you know,
Cyndi Lauper was on there, whatever.
Well, do things like that ever just make you go like, how am I in these situations? There must be, over the years, so many stuff, if it's meeting like icons or just people you never thought you'd be allowed in a room with, getting to do mad shit, that makes you stop and just be like, what's this about? What's going on here? Am I being punked?
Yeah, I mean, pretty crazy. It was like one of the coolest moments was when we were at the Grammys that year for Hey There Delilah. We were seated right across the aisle from Ringo Starr. And so at one point I got to go say hi to him and shake his hand. And, you know, like those are moments where you're like I remember that more than like the night at the Grammys, you know. That was like the moment that stood out to me, getting to meet Ringo, you know. So there's definitely been moments like that. Recently, it was really cool. I performed at Emo Night at Coachella last year and ran into Phineas, you know, Billie Eilish's brother.
Yeah.
And he stopped me to say, we love your music, we love Plain White Tees, you got to go say hi to Billy. And I'm like, hell yeah. And so me and my 13-year-old son, who this was his first ever music festival, we were like hanging out with Billie Eilish ever. in her trailer. And she was like singing my songs to me. It was like one of those moments where it was like, what the hell is happening right now? It's crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I guess we were Billie Eilish's first ever favorite band. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. You need a t-shirt with that on. That needs to be merch.
Do it.
That needs to be slogans.
Good idea.
Oh.
It's a good idea.
You've got to. Yeah, you've got to. Please do that. And you became the coolest dad at the festival that year.
Oh, I mean, like, come on. Yeah. I can never take him to another music festival because he's going to think that's the... Yeah.
Dad, are we going to meet the headline act? And she's going to tell you how fucking brilliant you are. Not tonight. Yeah. Yeah. Who is it? Metallica. Shit, we can't go.
Whoops.
That's awesome. That is amazing. I just put it myself in your son's shoes. Like, imagine me in 13. Like you said, you love music at that age. You found it. It's fucking incredible. One of the biggest artists in the world absolutely loves your dad.
Yeah, definitely. If he had any doubt, if I was like, you know, if I was cool that day, that definitely sealed the deal for him.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
He's like, oh, Dad, I don't care you're in a band. Stop going on about it.
Exactly.
And then he's like, he was fucking Billie Eilish. Yes. Justification.
Yeah, my son actually he loves Plain White Tees too. So that's kind of like,
oh, good.
I'm
good.
Just waiting for like that moment where he gets like too cool. He's like, oh, whatever, Dad. Like, I don't care. But, you know. But yeah, so far, so good. So
yeah. Good. Well, yeah.
It must be nice, though, as well, where he's at the age, like, kind of understanding life a little bit more when you have a new album out. And, like, I'm sure he's going to come to these shows and just seeing the reaction itself. And that must just be, like, a whole different perspective for you to kind of share that with the family.
Totally. Well, he's, you know, I mean, he's been a part of... You know, when I make a, like a write a song, or he's in the other room doing a school or something and he's hearing me write it, you know, where when he was younger, it was a lot more, I had to kind of get away from the house or like, you know, get into my own headspace. And now that he's a little older and it can coexist and he's in one room doing his thing, I'm, writing and recording in another room. And then it kind of comes together and it's like, hey, what did you think of that song? You know, he's like, oh, it's awesome. Or, you know. Like, it's cool to have him, the older he gets, the more, like you said, the more kind of part of the process he can be, you know, kind of in the studio or hanging, you know, more and more. So it's, it almost makes it that much more special having that little connection to it.
Yeah. You got to make sure he's not taking notes for when he's 18 to go, well, actually, I wrote that bit. I told you that bit was a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. Totally.
So... I think you found 20% of that song is mine. So thank you very much, Dad.
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, I'm trying not to like, I don't want to push him into music, but he really is good. Like he's got a good ear. You know, he's good with it. He plays a little guitar and stuff like that. So I'm hoping, like, I'm waiting for the day to come where he's like, oh, Dad, check out this song that I wrote. You know, like, I know he's going to start doing that stuff. So I'm excited to. You know, I'm just kind of waiting for that moment to happen.
Oh, I love that. That's extremely wholesome. I love that you guys have that relationship, especially with the music. As you said, you've been in so many different elements of this industry, and I'm sure there's so many lessons you've learned, like the hard way, but also just kind of on the road and everything like that. Is there ever any advice you give to people when you have these conversations with fellow musicians or new artists or anything? Because, you know, you've been involved with independent labels and all that kind of other projects and stuff. So yeah, I was just wondering if there's anything that comes to mind when you have these conversations with people.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, one of the first and best pieces of advice that we ever got, we had our very first manager. He basically said, like, he told us, like, just don't quit. And you're going to make, it might be one album, it might be five albums, you know, but just don't quit. Don't stop. Just keep going. And, you know, you're going to have some kind of success. You're going to make some impression. You're going to make a dent, you know. And I always tell people, like, I mean, half the, you know, the artists, like the biggest producers in the world right now are guys who were like in bands that never made it or so, you know what I mean? It's like failed bands, but this guy just loved writing songs. So he got in with this, you know, it's like, it kind of, as long as you're like following that path, following your heart, if you will, as cheesy as that sounds, it's like, you're going to find a way, and maybe it's not to exactly what you thought your dream was or your path was, but it's going to take you somewhere pretty close. You know, you're going to be happier doing that than you would just kind of being too afraid to follow your dreams, or, you know, not doing it at all and just being stuck with some job that you didn't really love or you don't love doing. So, yeah, that's just kind of my advice, is like, if you have that inclining to be an artist in any way, whether it's music or painting or film or whatever, it's like, yeah, I would just follow that and it'll lead you somewhere good.
Nice. Where's the weirdest place Plain White Tees have ever played? What's the strangest venue
I've ever played? Somebody just brought up the other day, we did a Walmart parking lot tour, which is
cool. Wow.
kind of weird. Let's see. I mean, we've done our share of like backyard parties and, you know, garages and stuff back in the day as like a local band. Yeah, I mean, Walmart parking lots are pretty, I'd say that's got to be up there.
To tour it as well, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Multiple.
I have so many questions about it. Like, did Walmart put on the tour? Did you just turn up in random parking lots?
No, it was like a Walmart. Yeah, it was like a sponsor. I think it was us and Boys Like Girls, actually.
Wow.
We were both like kind of starting to break a little bit. And I think somehow the labels set it up, because then Walmart stocked our album, or, you know, some kind of promotion with Walmart. Yeah. But yeah, there were free shows in like, I think we did like four or five different Walmarts like around the West Coast. And, you know, it was really fun because thousands of people turned up to show up to the free show. And it was great. Yeah. Would do it again. 100% would do it again.
See, this is what I love about like the culture over in the States, because you'd never get over here. No one's putting bands Tesco. On in the Tesco yeah. or as the car parks or anything. We're not getting that.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Bring Plain White Tees to the, you know. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Hang on. You know where we played once? What's the store, kind of like a real fancy store?
Harrods.
Is it Harrods?
Is it a posh toy shop in London? A posh shop in London?
We played there.
What?
Yes. What?
How,
we played what? There.
How did that come about? What for?
I don't fucking remember, but yeah, that was really weird and cool. I want to say that I might be totally mixing my stories here,
okay.
But I want to say that we did some like pen company.
Ooh.
Like we like did a some weird like endorse thing where Plain White Tees, there's like some fancy ass like $400 pen that was sold through Harrods, and we performed that in the store for like this promotion. Super weird.
Wow. Okay.
It's almost like am I making this up? But no, I'm yeah. not. You guys, you'll have to like Google it. I'm sure there's some proof out there.
That's we've never heard anything like that. So that's,
where's the pen connection? I don't what?
I don't yeah, very weird.
Pen White Tees? No, yeah.
Pen White Tees? No, I don't really know what the connection was. It was like somebody wanted to use us to sell an expensive ass pen somehow, and we said okay.
Well, whatever works, right? Whatever works at the end of the day.
Yeah, those might be two different things. The pen thing, I know the pen thing happened, but that may not have been the Harrods connection. But either way, we definitely did both of those things, and they were both in the UK for sure. So,
wow. Yeah, sorry for making your experiences over here so weird. I don't know why we've got a reputation. We've got a reputation of that.
Yeah, it's funny that over there we do the nicest store possible, and over here we did Walmart, you know, so it's the opposite ends.
With that story as well, I love the idea of like all these pop punk and emo kids turning up, but then people still come in to do their shopping and being so confused about what's going on. Like,
oh, totally. Oh, yeah. Probably being real mad because the park, there's nowhere to park and it's all filled. There's too many people, you know? They're just coming to get their, you know, Doritos or something and they can't. Yeah.
I just came for some camping equipment and there's a bloody band in the way. Shit.
We recently had Cassidy Pope on, and she was telling us the story of playing the Emo's Not Dead cruise, which you were a part of for the same year.
Yeah.
Tricky playing on water, or was it just, well, smooth sailing, but I didn't mean the pun for that, which I... Yeah.
So the very first... we first started our first gig, because you play a... You know, it's like a 3 or 4 day thing, and you do like... 3 shows throughout the course of it. And so the very first day, we were one of the first bands to go on, like the night everyone boarded the cruise. I think we might have been like the kickoff band or something. And so when we started playing, the boat was still docked. And as we're playing, all of a sudden, we all started like, kind of feel like, I thought like, man, is this booze just hitting me real hard right now? Because why am I like, wobbling? And then we realized like, oh shit, the boat just took off. So it was like a weird thing going from like solid to like, now you're moving. But honestly, once it's moving, you kind of weirdly don't notice it as much. It's, I don't know, it's pretty smooth, but yeah, it was definitely weird. That very first set made us all feel like we were on drugs. It was crazy.
Did any of the bands, were they sick during their gigs, during all shows?
You know, there was at one point in that, and it wasn't really from the shows, but at one point there was like a rockier day. And so I feel like everybody, bands and like people on the boat were all a little bit like, okay, I'm just going to sit this one out. I'm like, you know, kind of feeling a little bit woozy. There was one day that, yeah, it was like, yeah. Like if you were especially by like the back of the boat because of the way it like, just moves more. It's like, yeah, it kind of got a little dicey, but yeah, for the most part, it was, you know, pretty easy, pretty smooth. Why? What did Cassidy say about it?
Just, yeah, there was similar things about just moving along and singing is, well, something you've never had to kind of put up with before.
Yeah, you really don't think about it before you go on the boat. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'm doing this. Okay. You know, I was not prepared.
Oh, I just think of the heavier bands as well, because imagine like starting the mosh pit and then the boat's moving and then no one can control it. Oh.
The world's most wonky circle pit. Yeah, it's like ellipse pit. It's an ellipse pit because they keep running sideways. What's going on?
It just throws a new dimension to the pit, you know?
Literally. As we start winding down on this conversation a little bit, Tom, you've talked so much about the creativity towards music, but I know as well that you like to do a lot of art and get commissioned to do some paintings from time to time.
I have been, yeah. So I'm actually just a big, I mean, I'm not sure, where are you guys located in the UK? Are you?
Wales.
Yeah, we're Welsh.
South Wales. Oh, Wales, okay. So yeah, I'm like a, obviously, this is probably, you're going to roll your eyes, but a huge Banksy fan, right? Bristol. Nice.
No.
And so, yeah, I mean, everybody kind of loves him, I think, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully. But yeah, so the love of Banksy just kind of got me into just collecting art and like finding new artists. And I'm honestly kind of obsessed. Like I have a problem of just like, you know, just buying art and trying, like just becoming friends with all these cool artists and stuff. And but anyway, I got so into art that I started just painting myself, and I'm not certainly not technically good, but it's almost like punk rock where it's like, you don't really have to be good. You just have to like tell your story, you know, and like 3 chords and the truth is all you need for punk rock. You know, it's kind of a similar thing. So I just kind of like, I don't know. I just write some words and like kind of just dots and like, just kind of like, just throw a bunch of stuff kind of at the canvas, and it all kind of just, I think it looks kind of cool. And yeah, I think that some people are, they've commissioned some things and bought some pieces that I've made, and definitely like, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be hanging in any museums anytime soon, but definitely a fun, you know, way to just kind of be creative outside of music.
Well, you mentioned Banksy then. So Hayley Connolly, who works with Good as Gold Group, your PR team, she met Banksy once.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, you'll have to have a chat with her about...
Okay, I got to talk to her, yeah.
Yeah, she used to share an office with the manager of the Fratellis, who were a British indie band. Yeah, so Banksy made, once upon a time in North London, he made like this giant... It was like made out of traffic cones, but it was like a big ball made out of traffic cones. And her friend ended up taking her home.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets worse. His father disassembled it.
Oh, because no.
He thought he was taking up too much space in the garage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But yeah, Hayley Connolly ended up meeting him. So yes, when you're over or whenever you speak to Hayley from Good as Gold or Matt from Good as Gold next, tell him you want to hear Hayley's Banksy story.
Beautiful. I'm going to do that. That's awesome. Yeah, I feel like I've been like, just through people I've met, I am like that one degree of separation. Like I'm this close to being in that position or somehow meeting him or something, being around. Maybe I already have, for all I know. I don't
know. Yeah, I just want to see what he looks like. That's all I want now.
I know, right? Right.
That's all I want. Like I've watched everything he's done. I've watched all the other like indie documentaries on him, or there's a good one called The Graffiti Wars. I don't know if you've seen that. It's about...
I don't think so.
Him and a guy called King...
Robbo, maybe?
King Robbo, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So him and Robbo, yeah. So it's about him and Robbo going back and forth on this wall, and then Robbo gets attacked one night and ended up in like a coma, and they didn't know if he was Banksy. And yeah, it's just this whole mad lore and like tales and stuff. It's all mental and I love it.
Totally. Yeah. It's like gives you something like as we get older, you know, the less and less you have less to be excited about because you've kind of seen everything. And yeah, Banksy, it like he always keeps it. It's always like Christmas morning whenever he pulls a prank or he does something, you know, it's like, whoa, it's so exciting.
It's just the fact that he's been able to go this long and people still don't know who he is. Like we're massive wrestling fans, right? So for us, that's like that is keeping into character completely. You don't see that anymore. You don't see that
anymore.
It's
amazing.
When you're in the middle of being creative for one thing, do you often get inspired at the same time to then create something else? So like do the paintings inspire songs or songs inspire paintings or anything like that? Yeah. Or do you like to keep it completely separate?
You know, it's kind of like I kind of compartmentalize it just because it's like sometimes the painting is almost like to like a purpose escape from thinking about me. You know, I'll just put on like jazz or something that is not anything in like a pop, you know, realm, and just kind of like not think about anything and just paint, you know? So yeah, I'd say they're probably different. Definitely I've done a couple paintings where I've written like, hey there, Delilah as the thing, or, you know, I'll put some like a lyric in there. So there's a little bit of a tie-in sometimes, but I don't think it's necessarily like one inspires the other or like I'm doing one and I think of a lyric or something like that. I kind of keep them separated.
But what if you brought them together and you had like paint on a guitar plectrum and whenever you strummed your guitar,
you know what, actually,
the paint went onto the canvas?
I should probably paint a guitar for the tour or something. That's a good idea.
There you go. Hey, yeah, if you need, let the management know or the PR people know that if you need any ideas, we're here all the time. We're literally brimming with them.
Give people ideas and then we get no credit for it, but it's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you for that.
That's okay. That's fine. That's yours now. We give Brandon Boyd a t-shirt design because I said singer, songwriter, artist, and never aging mega babe, Brandon Boyd.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
His manager was like, can we have never aging mega babe as a t-shirt design? And I was like, please put that on Brandon Boyd.
I mean, that's how else can you describe that guy? Seriously.
Literally.
You know, it's unbelievable.
I call him that or new metal Jesus.
Mm, that works.
Because that's it. That works. Yeah. He's lovely. Fantastic.
See, I would go with Jared Leto as like the Jesus. Never aging Jesus, maybe.
A good one. Yeah, that's going to end up being, he's got a painting somewhere, or that's aged terribly or something like, I don't know. Yeah, it's it's going to turn out, yeah, Jared Leto's got some sort of evil curse or something where he stays beautiful forever.
Just like climb the Empire State Building or something. Did you guys see that?
Oh, no. Do you know what? I tell you what, I'm sick of doing that myself. I'm bored of it. Like, oh, not another person. Yeah, Morgan the other day, for absolute, yeah, nobody asked him to, for no reason whatsoever. Jared Leto, yeah, must have thought he was an attractive girl at the top of the Empire State Building because he climbed
exactly.
It.
Wow. Go. Well, when you've got 30 seconds to Mars money, I guess you can do all that, right? Oh, he's got film money as well.
He's got all the money, man. He's got all the money. Get them all in, Jared. Oh,
God.
Good.
Tom, we're going to leave you with two last questions. This one might be a bit silly, but I was looking at the album track list earlier. So with this podcast, I love a pun, and I thought of a brilliant pun-related question. We've talked a lot about just the industry and things you've learned and advice and everything like that. But what is something about music that gets you fired up and something that is a red flag?
Ah, I like that. Oh, okay.
God, I don't.
No, I mean, that's a good use of the song titles.
I try my best. That's the one thing people can guarantee from me is I try my best.
He does it at the beginning of every episode when I try and introduce the guest, because we do like intros before this bit. And every time he uses the song, and it fucking grinds my, because some of them are so jarring. He's literally just fucking stabbing.
It's consistency, you know? I like it.
Yeah, 5 years of that. 5 years of that. So you can tell it's not doing well for him.
Okay, so what gets me fired up? I mean, I'm always, like I said, I'm a huge fan. I'm a fanboy for sure. So like when I find an artist that I love, I can't get enough of them. You know, like I got to buy the vinyl. I've got to buy the t-shirts, you know, I've got to like everything. Like I just like soak them up. For me, what gets me fired up is just great music that I discover. Did we talk about 100 Gex at all?
No,
in this
we
haven't. Yet?
No.
So they're like, you guys familiar with them?
Yeah, I know of. Yeah.
They are my favorite, like current artists. They're so fun and just, I don't know. It's just, they're so outside of the box and it's really exciting music that they make. And, So like that's an artist, like just music like that, that like just gets, you know, makes me see music differently. You know, that gets me fired up. And then red flags in the music industry. I don't know. It's like, I don't want to I try not to be negative about things, you know? I do think, you know, it's kind of annoying that like, And I know that we have to get more on like the TikTok thing because we're not that good at it. But like, that's so annoying that like, it's like such a requirement now for an artist. It's like, especially a new artist who's like just trying to break. It's like, you know, even artists that I follow, that's like, okay, cool. You've posted 18 different times you singing the same song. And I get it that you're doing it and you have to. But it's just like a little bit, I don't know if it's necessarily a red flag. Like I said, I don't want to say they're doing something wrong or bad. It's just like, for me and my personal taste, I wish that there was something more, a little bit more inspiring than having to make TikTok videos.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's exactly how I feel about it. It's just, it feels like we instantly come across as old men if you're like, I don't want to have to do this.
Totally.
None of us signed up to do TikTok. Like none of us are like, oh, do you know what I want to be? I want to be a mini film director for about 15 seconds.
Every day,
I'd like a music career.
Right. Every single day I have to make a new video. And it's I'd rather just, I mean, I'm more of like a old school, I guess, but it's like, you know, I'd rather make one like music video that's really good or you know what I mean. It's like imagine if you'd had to like write a different song every day and put it out there It's like, why don't you just like take your time and take a year and make an album that's really good? That's all, you know, write 30 songs and then take the best ones. And those, you know, I don't know. It's just a, it's a little bit like of a disposableness to it that I don't like, you know. It's like, it has to be so fast and so cheap. And like, I don't know. It like throw almost away. Like, does it take away the importance of it, of the song or of the, you know, I don't know.
I get that completely, because if you're comparing it to music videos, obviously that you put the effort into that and that's there forever. And can people remember music videos and rewatch them? I don't know. Like TikToks, you might go, oh, that's a very funny TikTok and save it. But are you rewatching that in 5 years? For, you know, we still watch, you know, I'm sure we still watch.
If there is, if there is TikTok in 5 years.
Right.
Because that's the thing. Like, all these things come and go so fast now. Like, it wasn't that long ago that...
As I'm drinking my MTV mug, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago that I was doing well on MySpace.
And yeah, exactly.
That's fucking super dead. I can't believe it. Yeah, that was bonkers. Bonkers to think that one day I logged into MySpace for the last time and I was like, right, no more.
And we didn't even know.
And I did so well on it. Yeah, and I don't even know why it changed. Like, why we all shifted to something else. We were just like, oh, yeah, I want to get a Friendster account. Friendster! That was shit.
Well, yeah, it's like you always have to try the new thing or something. I don't know.
Well, Tom, one question I do like to end on with guests that have such a unique back catalogue is, I would like you, if you can, to tell us about two songs. One that you think is completely underrated from the back catalogue, maybe overshadowed, didn't get the attention it deserved, and one track from this new self-titled album that you're just really excited for people to hear and think is going to be a key figure for people listening.
Wow. Yeah, that's a tough question with the back catalog. I mean, I don't know that this is what, like, the one that I would pick if I had to, but I thought the song Boomerang, which is off of our album Wonders of the Younger, I thought that was going to be a lot bigger than it became. Like, it never really got a chance to go to like radio or anything. But like, that was one, when I wrote, it was like, it felt like it hit all the right marks. And you know what I mean? It felt really special. So maybe I mean, just for the sake of not thinking too hard, I would say that off the top of my head. And then for the new album, you know, it's funny because we've released a bunch of songs. I do think you mentioned Fired Up and Red Flags very subtly earlier.
Oh, I didn't think you noticed.
I do think both of those songs are definite standouts for me. So I do think that you know, those would be two for people to check out. I also think there's a song that we haven't put out yet that's on, you know, coming on the album called Love, that I think really, if you like Delilah, 1, 2, 3, 4, those, you know, kind of classic acoustic Plain White Tee songs, I think Love will be the one that catches your ear and it'll be like an instant favorite.
Amazing. Nice. Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, Tom. Obviously, we've really enjoyed this. It's been great to hear all your stories, great with all the laughs, and just excited for what's next, and hopefully you guys will be in the UK soon and we can share some more jokes.
Yeah, I mean we're definitely planning on getting there in 2024, so we'll see you guys soon, hopefully.
Yeah,
we'll be. And there. I gotta find Banksy, you know, gotta find
that's true. Banksy. That is true. Yeah, I'm gonna go on a Banksy hunt again now after this. I'm gonna
because
you've reminded. Yeah, what I do is there's a website called virtualglobetrotting.com. And you can go on there and click Banksy and it will show you where all the Banksys are.
Ooh, nice.
It's like an instant street view as well. So you can literally drop your little man and be like, oh, here it is. Here it is in front of me. I'm going to go and do that right after this. Yeah. So thank you very much for the inspiration, Tom. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much for this. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. That was fun.
You're listening to Sabin Podcast.
Yes! Woo! What a lovely, excellent chap Tom is. What a brilliant conversation. I couldn't believe it. also potentially the coolest dad in the world now, according to his son as well, and you cannot blame him for thinking so. Wow.
That's the thing, right? The fact that Billie Eilish's first ever favorite band was the Plain White Tees just shows how far they have come in their career and how much of an impact they have on so many people's lives from their back catalog is just absolutely insane. I'm so, so happy we got to have this conversation with Tom. I love the new album completely. I've had it on repeat for the last couple of weeks. And yeah, just an all round good egg, good vibes and good times. And the fact that his now mission is to find Banksy, I think that's because of us as well.
Well, yeah, we'd all like find Banksy, I suppose, wouldn't we? We'd all like to know. Give us a look. Give us a look at your chops, bud. Give us a look at that face.
Maybe we should do a podcast where we actually find Banksy. Like, we do the hunt for Banksy.
And then we get him on, but we never show any pictures of it.
Yeah.
So people are like, that doesn't help, does it? It doesn't make anything. We could just get a robot voice and one of us could pretend to be it. Like,
oh, that's not a bad idea, man. Also, I would just like to share a quick story with everyone. once we finished recording, if you go to our social media pages at Sapling Pod on Instagram and the app formerly known as Twitter, you normally see like a little screenshot photo that we have with the guests. And it's like a nice little like, oh, that was nice. They did that. When we were doing that bit, for some strange reason, balloons started appearing
that was
on
funny.
Tom's screen. And I still don't know if it was a random thing that happened or if he has this as a joke he plays on people, but I was laughing for like 20 minutes after.
Whatever it was, yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah, he would just flick his head and some balloons would appear on his screen. And I was like, is he doing that? Or has our conversation been hacked and somebody's come in and is like, I know it'll be funny if I put balloons up every time that guy moves his head. Wild. But yeah, we had a fucking absolutely great time with Tom. Check out everything the Plain White Tees are up to this minute. He's a great egg. I enjoyed these stories.
Yes, the new self-titled album is available right now. Go and check out the music videos we've just put out as well, because they're a lot of fun. And they're going to be touring extently in the US in January and February.
That he means extensively.
Tickets are available now. And hopefully they'll be back in the UK sometime soon for us to have some more laughs with. One other thing I wanted to mention, this past week, Spotify Wrapped, they've been doing the rounds. You know, everyone says how much they like Spotify and these streaming services, even though they don't really pay podcasters or musicians or anyone who...
Magicians, it's not going to pay magicians, but...
No, musicians.
Definitely going to be hard to pay magicians. Can you stream magic?
Stream, hey.
Oh,
hey.
Oh, thought of a streaming platform for magicians. TikTok. Yeah! Wrap it up, son. We done. We are done here. Do I even need to thank the patrons? Because that was so good. I don't even know if they need thanking. TikTok. It's a streaming app for magicians. The end.
I just wanted to say thank you for everyone who's put us in their stories about us being their top podcast of the year and everything like that. Super appreciate it. Celebrated our 5th anniversary of the podcast.
That's
we did
true.
A special with Daryl Palumbo of Glass, Jordan Head Automatica, that you can go back and listen to really go celebrate on with us. And if you would like to give back to the podcast anyway, because streaming doesn't really do that. You get this for free, you fuckers.
I was going to say, you were like, oh yeah, we like seeing who's got us in a Spotify. And I just want to say, I don't like seeing who's fucking stolen off us and the band for the year. So don't show me. I don't care, because I'm sad that we're not getting paid the money we should be for those plays. Anyway, TikTok. Thank the Patreons and the top tier Patreons. Because without them, literally, you wouldn't be listening to this, because we wouldn't be able to carry on making this. So thank you very much. Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi, Janelle Caston, Paul Hirschfield, Scarlett Charlton, Tony Michael, Dilly Califragilistic, X Bella Grimwood, Nathan Croshaw, Mitch Perry, Kelly Owen, Emma Barber, TPSW Owens. Don't know what that means. Molly Malloy and James Bowerbank. If TPSW means anything crazy or racist, that had nothing to do with us. I'm just reading what I'm seeing. Thank you very much. Amy Louise, Kat Besson, Alexandra Pemblinton, Jonathan Gutierrez, Jenny Robinson, Amy Dawson, Murray Grimwood. Happy birthday to Jenny Robinson for the other day as well. Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Erin Southfield, Caroline Robinson, Stephen Aston, Kate Puttack, Jenny Munster, Louis Cook, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jason Aredia, John and Emma, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Craig Harris, Sean Foynes, M. Evans Roberts, Evan, Ollie Amesbury, Emily Perry, Adam King of the Goss Parslow, Kalila Keane, Josh, I bought my wife a mannequin leg for Christmas. I wasn't her main present, just a stocking filler crisp. Fuck me. Thank you very much, Vicky, Cal David Smith, and last but no means least, Connor Lewins and family.
Yeah, super appreciate everyone in our Patreon community. Get involved. They all meet up at gigs. They all get together. They're planning festivals. They're planning Secret Santa events now as December and all sorts. And we're going to be doing a Zoom party in the next couple of weeks to just celebrate this thing reaching 5 years and everything else in between. So thank you so much to our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin, and anyone for listening to this, wherever you get your podcast. We super, super appreciate it. Just yes, please share it with people and let us know what you thought of this episode. But I've loved this. We'll be back next week and every Friday with some very special guests, some surprises and madness caved in there as well. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Announcing the openers next week for the Blackout Tour as well. So. Yay. Tidy. Sapnin! My battery's going to run out any fucking second.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.